always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Developments on the migrant crisis at the southern border after a high-level meeting with Mexico's president and a U.S. delegation.
In Mexico City, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Alejandro Mayorkas meeting with Mexico's president. Sources telling ABC News the Biden administration planned to push Mexico to step up immigration enforcement within their country, help reopen key ports of entry, and encourage migrants to stay in Mexico. Melissa Adan, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The post-Christmas travel rush kicks into high gear today, making for one of the busiest travel days of the year, even as storms roll across the Midwest and the Northeast. Heavy rain overnight in New York and New Jersey raising flooding fears and could impact flights and roads. The home where four University of Idaho college students were killed last year is set to be demolished today. Victims' families argue the house is a critical piece of evidence. This is ABC News. A man accused of breaking into a house west of Philly four times to watch a little girl sleep has turned himself in. He faces charges including burglary and stalking. The deal done. The NBA has signed off on Mark Cuban selling a majority stake in the Dallas Mavericks, putting the value of the team at around $3.5 billion.
After rumors swirled, the Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban was on the verge of selling most of his team to the widow and other family members of casino magnate Sheldon Adelson. Now it's official. Miriam Adelson and her son-in-law, Sands Corp executive Patrick Dumont, announcing a binding purchase agreement for majority ownership of the Mavericks. The Adelson family had sold $2 billion in stock to help fund the purchase. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And a stuffed dog found at a flea market could sell for thousands. The toy turned out to be a rare Bonzo dog from 1927. It's now up for auction and could fetch around $40,000. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks cut down the nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks jumped out to a lead and never looked back. They won 144-122 over the Brooklyn Nets. Chris Middleton, a season-high 27 points.
12,000 is big. Still got a long way to get up to Dame, but no, I'm proud of myself for that. But been feeling great as of late. My legs are coming back. We're playing better team basketball. Just got to figure out on the defensive end.
NFL, the Packers suspending cornerback Jair Alexander for this weekend's game against the Vikings. I asked teammate Eric Stokes if he saw Jair run out there for the coin toss against Carolina.
It was clear as day. You can see when he went out there and all that stuff. I was sitting down on the sideline, and then when I looked up, he was out there.
What's Jair like as a teammate?
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with. At the end of the day, like, he's giving it his all.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to around 39 today with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear down to 23. Tomorrow, sunshine 41. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with late day snow showers and a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Nice to have you along here for another special edition of Up North News Radio here for the holiday season, where we've been taking a bit more time to get away from just the news of the day and have some conversations with the little radio family that we have cobbled together here. And I guess if we're going to go with the family metaphor in our radio family, this would be the crazy aunt in the attic. No, this
I'm
would
the
be
mom.
You are the mom.
A crazy aunt in the attic. That makes me think of flowers in the attic. Ooh.
Ooh. How's your holiday season going?
I love the holidays. I love all the light and the people and people being in good spirits and the food.
Did I even mention that this is Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the radio? I may have jumped right into things here. So
hey,
yes,
everybody.
Kristen is here.
Good morning.
And, we're just spending some extra time visiting over the holidays. We'll talk about traditions and food and movies, but we're also going to get into hometown health, which was a big part of our year together on the radio, and then some of the other health topics that we got into as well throughout a very busy 2023. Which, let's start with that, with just your impression at the end of the year, because 2022 was the year of the Dobbs decision. And while there were also, you know, there were election results that were positive in November of 2022, the fact of the matter is, you know, your world got rocked in 2022, along with, you know, basically all women. How are you feeling at the end of 2023?
Well, I would just like to clearly state that abortion is legal in Wisconsin again. So that is what I'm going to remember about 2023.
It's about healthcare. It's about health options. Maybe freedom, bodily autonomy, things like that.
And moving in a positive direction. Because remember, before Dobbs, things were rough in Wisconsin. It wasn't like you could just get basic healthcare. There were lots of questions, lots of confusion about what you could provide, what you could access. I feel hopeful. I feel like everything we've been through has us on this trajectory where we're like, we're ready. We're ready to offer all of this. We're ready to receive it. We know how to get information. We know how to be well-informed consumers of health. And a lot of it isn't just our personal health, but it's all that other stuff in our universe that affects our health. And that's what we've really focused on with Hometown Health.
Well, we really have. I mean, just a quite a display of guests, and they may not have been what some folks thought initially when we got into this, where every week was about, you know, what happens if you get the sniffles and why is your phlegm that color or whatever the case may be.
Gross.
We got into some, oh, listen to this. A doctor is calling me gross for saying something. We got into, you know, for example, the public health crisis that is a changing climate. We got into financial health. We got into mental health. Really, we just found that you have a personal network of caring souls willing to come on the radio and talk to people about the importance of these issues and so much more.
Well, your health isn't just what happens when you go to the doctor. It's, do I have clean water? Do I have access to healthy food? Do I have enough money to be able to do the things that I need to do to have a home and a car and all of the things that people need to be able to live a meaningful life? All of that factors into your health. So a lot of those things were things that we talked about.
When you look back, do you want to pick out any one person to remind people about first?
There were so many things. But, you know, I am really fond of the visit that we had with Dr. Joel Charles when he taught us about climate change and how it affects us specifically here in Wisconsin. And the thing that sticks with me from this conversation was that in Wisconsin, we don't have oil or, you know, we've got some hydroelectric and we've got some other things, but it's all green energy really that's coming from Wisconsin. None of these fossil fuels are here. So why wouldn't we, as a state that is deeply invested in conservation, why wouldn't we capitalize on the potential to also become an energy producing state? And I think we're on our way.
The biggest thing, as I mentioned, is that Wisconsin doesn't have any fossil fuel reserves. So we're sending $14 billion a year out of state every year. And that money is just going out the window. We could be keeping a big chunk of that money in state by producing renewables here in Wisconsin. So that brings more money back into our economy. As I mentioned, clean electrification probably is going to save the average household about $2,000 a year in energy costs. If we, you know, fully pursue clean electrification, we'll save 1,900 lives a year, as I mentioned. But in rural areas in particular, what I'm excited about is that, you know, rural areas have the opportunity to produce the energy that they need and that cities need. And that can have a huge benefit, you know, in the towns that I take care of. You know, everybody's always sort of struggling to keep the roads paved, keep the schools open. And a lot of these renewable energy projects come with really big property tax boosts that can really help townships do the things that, that folks want and need. At the same time, it helps farmers out. So there are just so many facets on which.
And yeah, there's so much more coming yet from the Inflation Reduction Act, which got passed as well. Yeah. And for folks who would like to go check out the Wisconsin Health Professionals for Climate Action page, which is wiclimatehealth.org. I mean, this is not just a bunch of, hey, we should do something. You're listing success stories in energy efficiency and in rural systems, renewable energy, and other things that anybody in the healthcare profession can do if they will take this seriously enough to organize, make a plan, and execute it. This is not some pie in the sky thing. It's happening right now.
Yeah, at any level you want to do it, you know, there's a ton of money now from the Inflation Reduction Act for people to, you know, get an electric vehicle, to electrify their house, put in solar. But also there's a ton of money, for example, for electric school buses. So whether you're a health professional or not, go to your school district and say, hey, why are my kids riding a diesel bus that's making them sick when they're supposed to be like going to a place that's going to improve their brain health? You know, get your school district to switch to electric school buses because there's a lot of money for it right now. So there's just kind of no end to the levels on which people can engage in a way that's sort of still local but meaningful to them.
There's so much that we can do, but we need to know what the options are. And, you know, nothing is a total win. So I really appreciated how he contrasted both the good and the bad about climate, that we need to know what the best options are and what is going to work for us specifically here in Wisconsin and in our own communities.
We talked about what else? Financial health was one that I thought was especially interesting as well. Again, not what people might have typically thought about a hometown health segment, but we helped draw the line, connect the dots, that if you're not in good financial health, it can have a real impact on your physical health as well.
And Kristen Elfheim, I mean, she's genius. This is what she does. She is a financial planner. She's so smart about helping people figure out how to ensure that their financial health is optimized. You know, I look at my kids and I think, how are you going to get through? Like, how are you going to actually transition to adulthood? And Kristen really laid out what some of the fundamentals were, what the things are that something as basic as a budget or saving for retirement, how all of those things impact your health both now and well into the future.
Is there like a most common mistake or a most common fix that a lot of households can make or do?
I think the most common mistake that I see is actually the 401k bombs. It's a tax issue. Now, don't get me wrong. Love retirement. Love automatic contributions into retirement plans. Love all the options. Love free money given from a company to add to yours. All of that is good. And we should be taking advantage. But what we don't realize is the consequence of all of our money being in the bucket of don't touch it till you're after 59 and a half, and it's all going to be taxable then. So the strategizing of different types of money, different tax registration classes, what you can use when, and then how to map that out through time. The distribution of a retirement plan, in my opinion, is ignored. You're ignoring what money will I spend when. And if the only type of money you have is a great big or medium or small 401k, that constricts the options that you have in terms of retirement, whether you want to go early, whether you want to make sure it's there long. Everything is constrained by the tax registration class. So education in terms of what's out there, what is your situation? There is no generic plan for retirement distribution planning. It's, in my opinion, just as much art as it is science. But you have to start with a foundation of broader buckets so that you have the options to do what you need to when the time comes, and people don't realize it. They just smash it all into their 401k. And then I got to figure out how to get it all out without causing chaos.
We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about some of our favorite guests as part of her Hometown Health segment. Let's see. I'll give you up to three. If I say favorite holiday movie, the first one to three movies that you have to turn on are what?
I do love It's a Wonderful Life. It just makes me feel so happy.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
But I also love Elf.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those would be my two.
So Elf is relatively recently, and It's a Wonderful Life goes way, way back.
Uh-huh.
And anything more in the, you know, as you were growing up, that wasn't quite so old and hadn't been made yet?
Well, there are all those little like claymation movies.
Yes, little stop action things. Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes you would think you were watching one, like, you know, the original Rudolph, but it would end up being mm-hmm. the second Rudolph, and it was kind of disappointing because everybody knows the sequel wasn't good back then, but sometimes they can be good now. Yeah. So we kind of grew up with, you know, those little claymation fun things. Herbie wants to be a dentist.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the year without a Santa Claus that had the heat miser and the freeze miser. You know,
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. Yes, that was the one, I think. And the Island of Misfit Toys.
That was out there too. That, you know, you had Rudolph with the Bumble and Yukon Cornelius. I mean, they really, you could do a mashup of all these various specials and have them in there. Because then if you did the mashup, you'd also have Jimmy Durante, you'd have Fred Astaire, you'd have Burl Ives all in one special because they'd each play the narrator of these different things. Jimmy Durante was Frosty the Snowman. You remember that special?
And Lil Karen in the Rain House. This could be our thing. This could be our retirement plan.
No, because again, the only people who would watch this are retired already. We wouldn't be able to get a new audience. They'd all be saying, who the hell is Burl Ives? You know?
Can we talk about sledding? I loved sledding when I was a kid. That was something that we'd all get up in our, you know, dressed up in our snowmobile suits, kind of like Christmas Story, you know, when he's in his snowmobile suit and he can't move. Yeah, we'd all get dressed up in our little snowmobile suits and make our way to some hill that, when I look at the hill now, I'm like, we sledded down that? That's not even really a hill. But to us, that was such a big deal to go spend some time with our friends, and it was dark and it was cold and our noses were running and we were having the time of our lives.
We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly for a little special holiday edition of Hometown Health and More, and we'll continue the conversation in just a moment.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We learned the value of having some wide open spaces that could be healing places, and that included a farm for vets. Remind us about that guest.
Not veterinarians, but actual veterans. The Door County Farm for Vets, the DC Farm for Vets, Jacob Vandenplas. What a beautiful human being. This is a man who lives in Door County. He's a veteran himself. And acknowledging that we lose 17 veterans every day to suicide, these are preventable lives lost. So he's dedicated himself to this farm that he's built where he welcomes veterans to come in, learn how to work on the farm, produce food, and most of all, build that sense of community with others who understand your experience. His goal is to prevent veteran suicide, but in the meantime, he's growing all of these healthy crops and he's creating this, you know, this wonderful place in a county that people flock to. I mean, everybody loves Door County. It's, you know, Wisconsin's vacation paradise, although we have a lot of vacation paradises. But there's something special about Door County. And yeah, what Jacob has done is continuing to do. If there's anyone out there who knows someone who's struggling, DC Farm for Vets, they're welcoming people with open arms.
The DC Farm for Vets is a real farm. It generates real produce, but that's not actually your primary goal, is it?
No, our primary goal is to actually end veteran suicide. And we're still floating around 17 and a half veterans a day committing suicide. And that is our real mission, is getting veterans back together, and not just back together, but teaching them how to grow nutrient-dense produce. We feel that your overall health, whether it's physical or mental health, actually starts with the food that you consume. So if we can get nutrient-dense produce into the hands of more and more veterans and get veterans together to have some of those tougher conversations, that's what we're here for. This is an epidemic. The VA is not helping. Our government is continuing to escalate situations where they're going to create more combat troops that they're already not going to take care of. And it's time that we as veterans that have survived those struggles step up and start taking action. And it's not just me. There are an exorbitant amount of other nonprofit organizations that are coming together and providing hunting and fishing trips for veterans and vacations for veterans. We wanted to do something a little bit more. We wanted to teach a skill. So whether you're growing a patio, a little herb garden on the back of your deck, or you want to get into full production farming, and or anything in between, we're here for it. We've also partnered up with Robertson's Orchard. So if you wanted to learn apples and cherry orchards, we can get you training on that. We've partnered up with Door County Mushroom Company so you can learn how to grow mushrooms. We're also in the process of working with some herbalists so you can learn about some of the traditional medicines and stuff that we've got floating around either the property or in your backyard. Something as simple as St. John's wort. I got a whole pile of it sitting in the field back there. So instead of going to the pharmacy and buying any capsules, you can make a wonderful tea. And obviously consult your doctor before taking any medicines out of the field.
I love how you talk about how your journey has taken you in places that you never expected. And you just remained open to it. And you made lots of mistakes along the way, but continued to refine as you made your way toward this really important goal.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's part of the thing that we're trying to streamline. We're really looking to get veterans actually into vegetable production. So we are working with several different organizations. We are part of a co-op called Seasonal Harvest out of Green Bay, and that's who the brunt of our sales and stuff goes through. And they sell to bigger organizations like school systems and the Packers and some other nonprofits that actually help disenfranchised communities. At least twice a month, we got boxes going out to some disenfranchised communities. But being able to serve something bigger than yourself is something that we all lose when we get out of the military. We're all inherently wired to do such. So being able to serve those disenfranchised communities and school systems is definitely an honor. We also do a transplant program in the springtime for a couple of private schools so that children can get their hands in the dirt and they can start learning how to grow stuff at a younger age, because my grandparents, both my grandpas, had to have a garden in the backyard in order to feed their families. That was the times. My dad had a garden as a hobby. My generation has no clue how to grow anything anymore.
Very true.
So we're trying to bring that back, and to be able to have that nutrient dense produce is very, very critical to your overall health. You feel better. Your mindset is better. You sleep better. And the way that we have produced food in this country over time is creating exorbitant amounts of climate change that is not helping things overall. So bringing everything back home, teaching how to garden, teaching how to grow produce. We also teach how to can. We teach how to butcher animals and process animals. All of that is part of it. So it's not just growing produce. It's also teaching how to live sustainably. So that's a good program.
You know, there's a lot to be said about the greater appreciation that we have for mental health overall. And that doesn't just include ourselves, but in the ways that we treat others and in the ways that we look out for the people we care for. One example would be our children. And you had a guest this year talking a great deal about pediatric mental health. And tell us more about Dr. Tracy.
Dr. Tracy Guy from Catalpa Health in the Appleton area. Pediatric mental health is a crisis. We keep hearing that mental health is a crisis all over the country, but in kids, we are at epidemic proportions. And the sad thing is we don't have the providers. We don't have the trained professionals to be able to care for these kids in the appropriate manner. So we've really got to pull it together. We've got to ensure that they have access, that the providers are there. You know, we can do so much better by our kids. We all value our kids, don't we? Like, our kids are, they're the future. So yeah, it was wonderful to talk with Dr. Tracy and hear a little bit more about what they're doing at Catalpa, what we can do better, and we can do so much better. But there are some wonderful resources that she shares with us.
On a positive note, the acceptance of mental health as an issue and less of a stigmatized issue has been tremendously helpful. And I think that that's responsible for some of the increase we're seeing in referrals for care, which is a wonderful thing. The other piece of it, though, and you mentioned COVID, are the part of the challenges, right? So 1 in 5 children will experience a mental health challenge. And that's concerning. But when we compare, say, 2019 to 2020, if you look at the period between April and October of those 2 years, we saw pediatric emergency department visits increase by 24% for children between the ages of 5 and 11. Wow. And by 31% for children between the ages of 12 and 17. So it's that period of time certainly impacted kids. And I will say, to give you sort of a more, if we pull the lens back a little further, the Wisconsin Office of Children Mental Health just released a report where they talk about the incidence of anxiety, suicidal ideation or attempts, and depression have increased over the last 10 years to 34%. And we've got children reporting feeling sad or hopeless every day at 34%. And that's an increase of 10 percentage points over the last 10 years.
We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about some of our favorite guests as part of her Hometown Health segment that we heard throughout the year here on Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll take a break here and share some more stories right after this.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Airports expected to be packed today, the post-Christmas travel rush making this one of the busiest travel days of the year.
In the air, this holiday travel week already seeing a long list of flight delays with record crowds at the airport. The FAA blaming air traffic staffing problems and flight congestion for traveler frustration in Florida, just days after Southwest Airlines was fined a record $140 million for last year's travel meltdown. The airline saw hundreds of delays yesterday. The FAA, for the second day in a row, imposed ground delays in Florida due to higher-than-usual traffic in the sky.
ABC's Rhianna Nally. On the migrant crisis, Mexican officials announcing a new task force to address the surge of asylum seekers at the southern border. It comes after a high-level meeting with Mexico's president and a U.S. delegation. And controversy involving Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley. She was asked by a reporter what caused the Civil War and failed to mention slavery. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former U.S. Senator and owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Herb Cole, has died. He was 88 years old. Cole's death was announced Wednesday evening by the Herb Cole Foundation. Cole bought the Bucks in 1985 and was instrumental in keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee. Cole also represented Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate from 1988 until 2012, when he decided not to run for re-election. Android phone users in Wisconsin can expect some of a $700 million nationwide antitrust lawsuit settlement with Google. Alexandra Sosnowski is New Hampshire's assistant attorney general.
With antitrust and disinjunctive relief, the hope is that the markets will open up and there could be future competitors that enter the race.
About 100 million eligible customers in all 50 states will split the settlement. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on. Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to around 39 today with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear down to 23. Tomorrow, sunshine 41. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with late day snow showers and a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We'll be right back.
We're back talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, our special guest for the hour, as we continue to roll through the holiday season here on Up North News Radio. And we, of course, talked about, again, that freedom to be you, that sense of openness that we're embracing more and more. Not everybody, obviously, but we're making some great strides. And we had a guest named Zeb who really gave us some insight into, you know, the freedom to be yourself.
Zeb is such a joy. Every time I see Zeb, my heart just fills. Zeb is a drag queen sometimes, and he is just a performer, an actor, and someone who really understands the importance of self-expression. And he came on to talk with us and help us understand, like, what is a drag queen? Why do you do this? What does it mean to you? And I loved this segment so much because we hear so much about drag queens from, like, a political perspective, like drag queen story hour. But, you know, really, these people are entertainers and they bring so much joy. If you've never been to a drag show, they are an absolute blast to see these people out there having fun and, you know, making us laugh and smile. And as it turns out, there are health benefits to drag shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great for people who perform in drag because, as Zeb's talking about it, that's that creative outlet. But it's also great for people who attend these drag shows. And there was a study out of the University of Northampton that showed that people who attended, these are quotes, there is overwhelming evidence to support the feeling that attending these events allow individuals to be their true selves, that it creates an atmosphere of acceptance and openness and a safe space for attendees, which is non-judgmental. It encourages liberation and self-expression, which boosts attendees' confidence and has a positive impact on happiness and mental well-being. So this isn't just about the queens getting out there and being themselves. This is about all of us getting out there and having a blast together and just really enjoying a different type of entertainment.
Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, any kind of show you go to, there's a good chance there's a theme for that night, whether it's an 80s theme or something. And a lot of times it's encouraged, you know, dress the part. So it's not just us getting into drag. It's a chance for the audience to come dressed up, you know, for the theme of that night and just to let loose and have fun. There's always some kind of comedy woven into drag shows. You know, the hosts and MCs, it's kind of on them to make sure that they're on point with their game too. But I mean, just laughing, just the laughter that happens. They always say laughter is the best medicine, right? But I did a show at the theater not too long ago, and I had a lot of first timers who've never been there before. And, you know, at intermission, you know, I'm out mingling with the guests and such, and some came up and they're just like overwhelmed with what's happening in front of them and just the emotions from laughing to crying and tears. I mean, as much as it's beneficial for those who attend it, it's just as beneficial for us on stage. I find myself in most shows that I do, at least at some point, you know, trying to choke it down, if you will, because I'm getting really welled up with the emotion as well, because I'm seeing that feedback, or you're doing a touching song or having a touching moment and you can just hear a pin drop, or the crowd is all in tears and sniffle it. And it's just amazing to know that you have that effect on people and that you have that ability to reach out and touch those people's lives for that moment.
Yeah, we really, that was a joy to have that conversation with Zeb. And I don't know about you, Pat, but I walked away feeling like I learned a little something.
We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about some of our favorite guests as part of her hometown health segment. We're on Christmas music, because you noticed that in Christmas music, it seemed like we went a long time without like a lot of new music. And then sometime after like Live Aid, you know, then people started making, you know, Bruce Springsteen was making Santa Claus is Coming to Town and all that. And now there's, you know, Mariah Carey, of course, is the queen of, you know, contemporary Christmas music. But are you more of a contemporary person? Do you like the stuff that you grew up with that came out in the 60s, 70s? Are you really old school, like, you know, Gene Autry singing Rudolph? What do you like?
I like all of it. I love music. The first album I usually play, though, when the holiday season hits is a George Winston album that is a beautiful piano. Yeah, with a lot of like Charlie Brown kind of songs on it from the Charlie Brown Christmas. Like,
yes. Well, and that would be, I would actually play the Charlie Brown Christmas one and listen to Vince Guaraldi doing his thing. And
yes.
Do you know the nicest Christmas present Sherry ever got me? is the gift of music. You know, she plays piano, and so we have this baby grand here, and she'll play it now and then, not as much as she used to when the girls were home. But one year, oh gosh, it had to be maybe 15 to 20 years ago, and I happened to mention the song Skating, and I said, boy, if I could make a request. And she's kind of like, okay, well, whatever. And as we got close to Christmas one year, I heard her sit down at the piano and start to play a little Vince Guaraldi Skating from A Charlie Brown Christmas. And it was such a nice gift to do, something that I can't do that, you know.
Those are the kinds of gifts that you really cherish. Like, you appreciate all of your gifts, but it's those really heartfelt gifts that are memories, I think, more than things.
Yeah. Yep. What activity or tradition from when you were growing up, being a good little Kakana kid, when you look back at childhood Christmases, what was it that you did? I'm thinking especially of like a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Chevy Chase is upstairs. Clark is in the attic and he's stuck up there. So he's got to dig out the old home movies. And, you know, there they are having dinner together. And when you play a film like that back in your head, what do you think about?
You know, I'm going to be really honest with you. Well, one thought that comes to mind is we had a white Christmas tree and we always wondered why it was white. And my sister and I just thought that that was silly because trees are green.
Right.
But the honest part is that I don't have a lot of happy Christmas memories because, you know, my dad had a problem with alcoholism and Christmas was a really stressful time in our family. And I always try to keep that in mind when I'm thinking about Christmas. You know, we always want to make it joyful and happy and cheerful, but there are a lot of people out there who are suffering and are experiencing a lot of stress. And, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge that. And, you know, if that's the case for you, 988 is the suicide hotline number. If you need that, if you've got friends you can reach out to, it is so important to just make sure that you have the support that you need, especially in times like this when we need it the most.
I'm glad you brought it up and answered it that way and didn't just, you know, like make up some happy-go-lucky answer, you know, because it you know, the truth is it's not an easy season for a lot of folks. And you reminded me, of course, of your mentor, Patrick McBride, and Sherry is reading his book right now. She had so many other books in the queue and finally is getting to this one. And I'm going to be very, I'm looking forward to talking to her about her impressions because, again, growing up with alcoholic parents and, you know, there's just not a lot of happy memories, but you certainly did pick up lessons along the way. It was a sad way to get those lessons, but I mean, look what they turned you into in terms of being a very compassionate doctor and a good listener.
Well, you find your moments and you find your people. And when I was reunited with Dr. McBride, who was the dean of the medical school, the dean of students at the medical school, when I was reunited as a fully fledged doctor, having left the nest, and we started comparing notes, it was very interesting to know that we had pretty similar experiences growing up. And I think that there's a lot of that, but we don't talk about it because we're always smoothing it over. It's not entertaining. And, you know, it's not entertaining, but it's necessary. So thank you for allowing me to make the space to mention it, Pat, because, you know, I think people need to know.
Oh, without a doubt. So, no, I'm very glad that you brought it up that way. Did you have a, like, one particular hill in your neighborhood where you grew up and went down that thing 1,000 times, or did you go to multiple places?
We had one that we could walk to that was only a couple blocks away, and then there was one at my elementary school, but that one wasn't so good because there was playground equipment at the bottom, and sometimes you ran into the playground equipment, and that was never a good thing. But there was one over by the Greeno Mansion in Kakana. Whoa, that was the big hill that everybody wanted to go sledding down.
Cool. I grew up in St. Paul, and which is very hilly, you know, being a river town along the Mississippi there, and so we had ample hills to use. And when they constructed a new elementary school near the apartment complex where we grew up, they ended up kind of creating a hill, you know, as they were just kind of landscaping around. And so it was rather steep. I mean, it was just perfect for sledding, but it was also steep enough that in winters where we got a ton of snow, you could just get a running start and see how far down the hill you would land. It was like ski jumping without the skis or the, you know, or the ramp. You just jumped and saw how far you could, you kind of turned into that cartoon snowball as you rolled on down.
Did you belly flop? Or did you butt flop?
We did a lot of butt flopping and mm-hmm. and then just a lot of rolling. People would build jumps, although mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, my impression is nobody made like the perfect snow jump. I'm sure other people did, but you kind of hit it and either the jump would break or your leg would break, so it'd be icy or whatever the case would be.
You knew where the jump was though, and you had to be like, sometimes you'd go sideways. But you knew, everybody was like, where's the jump? It was a really important feature of your sledding experience.
You know what would happen is in years where there were like Winter Olympics and people would see like the bobsled and the luge, is they'd try to make these like ramp, these rounded curves, you know, they try to make these high bank corners going down some of these things. And, you know, again, we lived in an age without camera phones. There's so many wipeouts. So many other embarrassing moments that didn't come up. What did you end up doing eventually? Because you and I are both not sledding anymore. We're not doing a lot of tobogganing. But did you pick up on something like snowshoeing, snowmobiling, ice fishing? What did you pick up for winter recreation? Downhill skiing?
Well, in high school, we would go get trays from Hardee's and we would attempt to go down the hills on trays. And that was not successful and I don't recommend it. No. I own snowshoes, but we've had so little snow recently that I haven't used them in years. Mm-hmm. And then I used to downhill ski until I broke my leg really, really, really badly. And now I don't ski anymore.
You broke the leg while skiing?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, wait, you broke your leg badly while skiing?
Yes.
And you've broken a leg badly while biking, right?
No, that was skiing.
Oh, that was just the skiing one? Okay.
Yeah.
I forget all your mishaps. I mean, I used to snowmobile a lot with an uncle until he rolled the snowmobile. And then I just didn't think that was as much fun. So I didn't for many, many years. And then, you know, as a grown-up, finally went snowmobiling. In fact, I was in the legislature at the time, went with some friends, and we went up in the Lake Tomahawk area. And oh, if I could do that more often, I'd mm-hmm. be a happy boy. Mm-hmm. I love it when you can get a good straightaway. What we did do was we went snowmobiling once just outside of Yellowstone. And out in that area where my one daughter lives, they get about 200 inches of snow a year.
Wow.
Up at elevation. Yeah. And the snowmobiling was amazing. But then I made a classic rookie mistake. You know, I'm in a snowmobile suit. I'm all suited up, of course. But I'm also, you know, at that point, somewhere around 50 years old. And as happens with men of a certain age, I had to go pee. So
oh,
I was
no.
like, well, no big deal. I just see a tree over there. And I stepped off the trail and boom, immediately up to my nipples in snow. There was just no... I thought I would need a rope to get out. I was eventually able to.
And you had to pee.
You know, that feeling went away. At that point, the body was like, you know what? We'll make it till the next stop. We're okay.
For people who do love to sled, I would just like to recommend Aaron's Hill at Titletown, just across the street from Lambeau Field. There is a giant sledding hill, and they will send you down in tubes.
Oh, very. I haven't gone tubing in forever.
It's a blast.
And again, probably wouldn't now for fear of breaking something. But oh, I didn't go tubing a lot, but oh, that is the best.
Uh-huh.
I really do like that. Because I never picked up on downhill skiing and never really appreciated cross country skiing. You know, just not a ski bunny. That's not my thing.
I would like to cross country ski. It's such great exercise. But again, you know, there just hasn't been enough snow to really do it.
Right. No, there's not.
Yeah.
We're talking to Kristen Lyerly on Up North News Radio as we get set for, the holiday season. And okay, enough about winter, enough about Christmas. Let's talk about New Year's for just mm-hmm. a little bit. You have New Year's Eve, either traditions or a particular New Year's Eve that, you know, was especially memorable.
Yes, I like to work on New Year's Eve so that I get to deliver the New Year's baby.
Aw, do you like both babies? Because not only the New Year's baby that gets a lot of attention, but do you like getting the last baby because they get the tax break for,
yes,
having only been alive for about 3 hours or something like that? You know, there's parents that just love that.
The parents are very excited about that. And I like it too, because that means that I have a baby before midnight and then I might get some sleep.
We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly for a little special holiday edition of Hometown Health and More, and we'll continue the conversation in just a moment.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
My New Year's Eve story, it's not the greatest New Year's Eve story, but I like to tell it this way, was the one time I put my foot down at work when I was anchoring the news at Channel 13. You remember Y2K?
Oh, yeah.
You remember how worried everybody was worried about Y2K? Oh, my goodness. We thought the world was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I was not that worked up over it. I figure there's a lot of very smart people out there. And, you know, if it's truly big and it takes out the grid, you know,
we're all in this together.
Yep. It's a bigger problem than one local news anchor. Well, and again, I had, you know, great bosses and supervisors in the business over the years, but in this case, they wanted us to stay after doing the 10 o'clock news and do a special edition at midnight. And it was, and again, I think I'm a pretty good colleague, but I kind of put my foot down and I was just like, no. Because if something big happens, something's not going to happen just in Western Wisconsin, okay? It's going to happen all over. But they wanted to do live shots from, like, you know, XL Energy and, you know, maybe from the 911 center or something. And I just said, no. And I think they thought I was bluffing. But then as the day went on, keep in mind, you know, the first midnight is like, what, about 5, 6 in the morning Central Time? And as midnight hit all around the world, nothing was happening. And so when, again, they were like, well, you're going to stay and do the midnight thing, right? I'm like, no, I am not. And so 10 o'clock newscast finished. I went to, you know, a neighbor was having a New Year's Eve party. And basically the poor young folks who go into TV news, you know, they get stuck with all the scut assignments.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm kind of watching them on TV and they're all doing the same thing. They're like, well, I'm here at the utility. Nothing's happening. I'm here at the school, you know, the 911 center, and nothing's happening. And I lifted my glass, gave them all a little toast, and went back to my party. So
those are the greatest stories. The reporters who have nothing to report on. So they're just mm-hmm. standing there like, here I am in Western Wisconsin.
Yes. We did. I heard that we had a really good New Year's Eve party in our basement one year.
You heard this?
Sherry and I were, Sherry and I were planning it. We were going to have the neighborhood party that year. We rented like a dance floor that you assemble down there. Oh. Yeah, I missed it. I missed it entirely. Because
and
a couple
how?
Of days, mm-hmm. a few days before that, my sports guy says, hey, the Packers are playing in San Francisco against the 49ers and the Badgers are going to the Rose Bowl. Do you want to fly out to Pasadena? You be my cameraman for the sports stuff. I'll be your cameraman for news stories. And we'll go from Pasadena up to San Francisco. I said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, hey, honey, I'm going to miss that party because I'm going to fly to California and go to the Rose Bowl and go to a Packer playoff game or whatever it was. And, you know, she we're still married. So we can say that much, right? And the Rose Bowl went well, but the Packer game, not so much. Hardcore Packer fans will remember that this was the game at Candlestick Park where Terrell Owens was playing for the 49ers at that point and caught the winning touchdown pass right at the goal line just as time expired. And we were on the field at the goal line. We're shooting down the goal line shooting the video of Terrell Owens catching the ball. And I'm just standing there stupefied, forgetting the number one instruction I was given to come along on this assignment was that when Bob takes off with the camera, I've got the microphone. I got to hold the microphone in the scrum to get the players' reactions. Well, I'm still just staring at the goal line. He's already taken off for the middle of the field for the scrum and everything. And so it looked like a cartoon where I just got pulled. I just got yanked right to the microphone.
Rookie.
Oh, that's right. We're working. Okay. So we're quickly running to the middle of the field. And I'll close with this little bit of television storytelling. We then had to go to KRON, K-R-O-N, the NBC affiliate in San Francisco. We had to get there quickly to edit the game highlights and get them to Eau Claire, you know, in time for the late news. They said, well, the edit bays are around that corner over there. We go around the corner to where the editing machines are, and there is a big standard heavy bag, you know, like a boxing punching bag, you know, one of these things that's like 4 or 5 feet, you know, big on a big old chain. And I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. But big city newsrooms are very high stress places. And at one point, somebody, reporter, producer, I don't know who, I heard a door open quickly behind me and some guy just comes up and bam, he hits that thing so hard and then walks away. And I'm like, that's either genius or troubling. That's what you need in your workplace is a big heavy bag for people to just take out their frustrations. But
I am wondering why we don't see more of that or also thinking that it's probably good that we don't see more of that. Like I'm in two minds with this.
I know. It really does go both ways. We were just absolutely floored to see that thing. And then when somebody actually came and used it, we thought, yeah, we've all been there. You know, there's the number is more than one of newsrooms that have had to plaster over holes in a wall someplace. Mm-hmm. Again, not something we recommend from workplaces, but I'm saying the number's not zero. So somehow we got from really fun New Year's Eve stories.
I'm just thinking about the two holes that I have in my walls because we don't use punching bags around here either because we've got, you know, brothers.
Of course you do. Have you had to patch up any of those?
Literally have two holes that do not yet have paint on them. One was from when one brother was trapped behind a door while the other brother was pushing on the door. It was cute. They ended up, after the hole happened, they ended up going to Menards together and purchasing a patch and learning how to patch the wall together. So it was a good bonding moment for them.
That's nice. That's a life skill right there.
That's what I kept saying. And they were mortified that they put a hole in the wall. Like they were just goofing around and, you know, they took it too far. But it was just so great that they fixed it and they were so conciliatory and sorry about it.
All right. Final New Year's thing. Where are you on New Year's resolutions? Always make them, never make them. Have done them with some success.
Plus minus, like I've probably done all of those things, but my current mind is that why wait? If you're going to do something for New Year's, just, you know, go ahead and do it. And then give yourself some grace. Like if it's a diet, it's always a resolution to like be healthier or something like that, but it's okay to fall off the wagon and get back on again.
Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time and, you know, just getting away from the news of the day and just being able to discuss holidays. I think folks wanted to just spend a little social time with the people that they hear every morning. And this was so sweet of you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
To you as well. And that's going to do it for another special edition here for the holidays on Up North News Radio. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If you're looking for a different way to ring in the new year, Wisconsin has its own version of the Times Square Ball Drop. It's the Big Cheese Drop, a giant glittering wedge of Satori cheese lowered every year outside the Art Center known as the Times Square of Plymouth, Wisconsin, the cheese capital of the world. The celebrations include cheese tasting, music, games, and the Big Cheese Drop at 10. It's a family-friendly event. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek.